All right. Well, hey, everyone. It's happening. As of midnight last night, 45,000 dock workers may have a huge impact on the 3 million truckers in the United States. The question is, will the port strike be a boom or bust for trucking? Let's find out. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Caution Wide Right. I'm Luke, your host. And this podcast brought to you by Compliance Navigation Specialists. Today, we're going to dive into everything that we know about the port strike, who's it affecting, how long will it might go, what's it going to really do for people at home, but even especially, how is it going to affect you, the truckers, on the short term and in the long term? So we're going to dive into everything here. Really, as a recap, tens of thousands of dock workers have gone on strike indefinitely. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 weeks, sort of the underlying assumption, 2 weeks. But it could go for a month, it could go for 2 months, go into the new year. We're not really sure. They're on strike indefinitely, happening right now at East Coast and Gulf Coast ports, threatening significant trade and economic disruptions ahead of the presidential election, which is only a month away, and the busy holiday shopping season. So, members of the International Longshoremen's Association, or ILA, walked out midnight last night at 14 major ports from Maine to Texas, total of 36 ports overall from the East Coast and Gulf Coast. And this is the first time this shutdown has happened in almost 50 years. The strike involves the 45,000 dock workers and really affecting about 50% of U.S. seaborne imports. And in fact, right now on the seas, there's 147 vessels coming to those ports. 38 of those vessels are coming to New York alone. So what's going to happen during the strike? What's going to happen to those boats? Are they going to go to the ports and just sit for a while? Are they going to be rerouted to Canada and to the West Coast? And really, how can trucking take advantage of this situation, or who's going to be hurt by this in the short term? Let's really dive into all of this. Before we do, remember, please like the video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and please let me know in the comments below, how do you think this strike is going to affect truckers in the short term and in the long term? And really, you know, we talk about it all the time, especially when the ELDs came out. People wanted the sort of truckers to unionize or at least go on strike. There's millions of you guys out there. What would you go on strike? What would you go on strike about? And, you know, what do you think you can get out of it? Let me know in the comments down below, because I love hearing that kind of a feedback. There's a lot of just, you know, anger out there on this type of thing. So really, the first thing we're going to do is look at the ILA's perspective. The ILA president, Harold Daggert, on their YouTube channel for International Longshoremen Association, had a long conversation about all of this. And he wants to specifically talk about why are they striking. And then I'll do a clip on, you know, what the strike will look like from their perspective. So let's look at Daggert's perspective here on screen.
The companies got smart and said, we don't want to go through another 3 months strike. Let's negotiate in good faith. Back then, the companies didn't make the money that we make today. So we negotiated in good faith. We went with 6-year contracts. Then we got a dollar raise, $1.50 raise for 6 years. It was great. It was a lot of money compared to 80 cents for 3 months. But today's world, it's changing into the future. They're not making millions no more. They're making billions. And they're spending it fast as they make it. I want a piece of that for my men, because when they made their most money was during COVID. When my men had to go to work on those piers every single day, when everybody stayed home and went to work, not my men. They died out there with the virus. We all got sick with the virus. We kept them going. From Canada to Maine to Texas, Great Lakes, Puerto Rico, now the Bahamas. Everybody went to work during COVID. Nobody stayed home. Well, I want to be compensated for that. I'm not asking for the world. They know what I want. They know what they want. And if they don't, well, then I have to go into the street and we have to fight for what we rightfully deserve.
Well, there you have it. Dagger, you know, you can see his personality. You know, they are serious about going on strike. And this is a big deal. I mean, seriously, the dock workers and what they do out there, this is a critical job. You know, there's 45,000 dock workers on strike right now in these at the ports, and their job, I mean, they're getting the containers off of the ships, onto, you know, on site, getting them onto rail or getting them onto trucks, getting them to, you know, airplanes, whatever it is, they're moving that freight. And this is freight that is huge, heavy, stacked on top of each other. The, you know, fear of getting hurt on site, it's legit. I believe he talks about 17 people in the last 3 years have died, you know, working at the ports here. And some of the crazy things too, that you have to think about is they're going on the ships, let's say up north in the ports, you know, at wintertime, they're, the containers are all iced up. They're strapping them down so, you know, they don't sway and all fall into the ocean, when they are being exported, away from here. And so they have to strap all this stuff down, making sure it's good. They're on top of ice, in the wintertime. It's cold. Or if you're thinking about down south at the Gulf Coast and Florida and other locations, you know, it's 95, 100, 100 plus degrees, super humid. There's water people that are delivering water, both, you know, in the, to the people, the port workers down in the boats everywhere, and trying to keep people safe. Their work and what they get paid for is legitimate. They get paid over $100,000, $200,000 at times. If there's a scale here, and the work that they do, it's valued. It's needed. Now, why is the strike happening? So there's a previous agreement for the last 6 years from 2018 to midnight last night, that they had an agreement for 6 years that, you know, there'll be pay. I think it was a 1% increase year over year. And there's specific rules on automation, you know, trying to limit the automation to some degree, having conversations about having that being implemented at the ports ahead of time. Well, this contract was coming due and they needed a new contract. So we knew that this was coming, you know, since summertime of this year. We knew that, you know, what one side wanted, what the other side wanted, specifically. So ILA is on one side, the union, and you have the U.S. Maritime Alliance, USMX, on the other side. They're sort of a group of a consortium of both shipping workers and other stuff together. And they work on these agreements since, I believe, July. They knew how far apart they were. And those discussions basically stopped, and haven't really moved too much. I will want to talk about how it's moving from the most recent news, but what's this new agreement going to look like? What they want, what ILA wants, is a 70% pay increase for these workers. That's a lot. But the argument that he gives is that during COVID, they need, those companies made billions and billions of dollars. The big, big shippers made billions and billions of dollars. And basically, they want these to get a cut for the ILA dock worker, specifically get a cut from that for their new agreement, is automation. What happened on the West Coast was that in 2002, there was a strike for 11 days at the West Coast, had some significant impacts, about 6 months of sort of backlog that happened. But through the agreement, they did allow some kind of automation to happen at some of the ports. Now, first off, let's look at automation and efficiency. U.S. ports, world ports, are not very efficient when you look at the rankings of these ports, especially the biggest ports that we have. They're very sort of inefficient compared to these other ports. So what happens is these automation, it's helping move cargo and more efficiently, less use of dock workers in certain capacity, but not in every situation, obviously. And so what happened in 2002 at the West Coast ports, about 800 dock workers were laid off due to the automation. And that's a big deal. Now, the long-term trend is if the automation makes it more efficient, they can get more loads through those ports, then they're actually hiring more workers long term, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the road. So it could be a good thing for the automation. It's just there's that short term pain that's happening. And so balancing that compensation and that automation is very, very important right now. Let's take a look at what the BBC article is talking about, what this strike's all about, and look at specifically what the closest agreement is. You know, I mentioned 70% for ILA wanting those pay increases. So what's the strike all about? Talks have been started for months and the current contracts between the parties expires as of midnight last night. And the U.S. Maritime Alliance on Monday said, so Monday, before it officially went live with the strike, increased its offer, which would raise wages by almost 50%. So they, you know, they want 70%. They're saying, okay, we'll meet to at 50%. That's a pretty big, you know, middle ground, it seems like. Triple employers' contributions to pension plans and strengthen healthcare options. So what was the response? The union boss, Harold Dagger, had called for significant pay increases for its members. And this was basically refused, or we haven't heard anything from this from ILA's perspective. So they're on strike right now. And it's pretty interesting. Let's, you know, on Twitter, you can sort of see some of the places where things are happening. Dock workers on strike. You can see some of these locations where you know, the ports are situated at. And there's a lot of interesting information coming out of here. You can see some pictures of the people on strike. Machines don't feed families. You know, it's a big deal for these workers, and it makes sense. You can see here too, the bigger the circle here for these ports, the more money, or of in tonnage, millions of tonnage are coming through those ports. So you can see Houston, New York, New Jersey, Norfolk, and, you know, some of the big ones here, for us regionally where we're at, Pennsylvania, Baltimore, Delaware, you know, there's a lot of important freight that's moving through. The question is, what kind of freight is being moved and what will the impact actually be? So there actually was a PDF, a report pulled out, the potential impact of international longshoremen's strike. This is by MITRE. Now, they released some interesting graphs discussing this. So if we look at these two graphs here, I'll try to zoom in so it looks okay for you guys. But when we talk about trade, there's two types of trade. There's import trade that we get from other countries. So when you think of that, we get a lot of auto, we get a lot of alloy steel, pig iron here on the left side, these imports. We get, you know, tin, we get cocoa beans, and again, a lot of the stuff that we need for manufacturing, especially on time manufacturing, where they need the stuff right away, it, you know, is for the efficiency for manufacturers. If they don't, if the strike happen, or with the strike happening, you know, that can cause a huge delay on that manufacturing side. So this is the type of stuff that aren't going to be coming in as frequent at these East Coast ports. Now, what we talk about exports, so exporting away from the United States. These East Coast ports, if you look here in black and the dark purple here specifically, you got minerals, you got fuel, oil, you have machinery and electronic machinery, vehicles exporting out as well, aircraft. It makes a small percentage, but it's significant on the East Coast specifically. And what we don't see specifically high up on this list is food. And so you'll hear a lot of the news about, hey, bananas aren't going to be imported in. There's going to be a shortage of bananas. Maybe the bananas will go up in price. But really, if you think about the short-term piece of this, we shouldn't see much of an impact at the grocery store. Now, if you're looking to buy a car and something specific, then there could be a little bit of a delay, especially if it's a Asian or European automaker. Then there could be a delay in the time, or there could be an increase in the cost due to the shipping costs. Now, the other side of the situation here is that we've known that this strike could happen since the summertime, and basically the retailers have prepared. Some of the biggest retailers that are out there, you think of like Walmart, and you think of like the big Home Depots and things like that. The big retailers have sort of already prepared with getting a lot of stuff in from the ports right away in the last few months. And so short term strike here, if it goes for a week or 2 weeks, it's not going to be a big deal. We're not going to see big price increases. We're not going to see big inflation. These companies can sort of suck up the costs that these increased rates will happen when they have to move the freight differently. So short term, this isn't a big deal. It's when the strike goes on longer than that sort of 2 week window. If we see it approaching, the election, November, that's when it's going to start being a big deal. That's when we're everyday people are going to start seeing things happen. And the other piece that we want to, remember here is that for every week of a strike, that's a month of, backlog. So at the ports. So it takes time. Stuff's going to be sitting at the ports and the different rail system and the different, paths that the trucks go through, all of it's going to start getting backlogged. And if the strike goes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're looking at months, if a quarter, you're looking at the beginning of the new year where this backlog is going to happen. And so the longer it goes, the worse that sort of long-term effect with what's happening here. In this, you can see here too, the port strike is going to change where this freight is going to be delivered to the port. So instead of going to the East Coast, maybe they'll divert up into Canada. So truckers, hey, maybe you're going to be getting your Canadian authority, which you can, if you need help with that, what do I need to do to get my Canadian authority and be able to go into Canada and get loads and bring it back to the United States? Come check out cnsprotects.com. I have a whole article breaking that down. We also have a video that we talk about all of that. You can go to our store, cnsprotects.com/store, and get sort of situated right away and get, help you understand what you need right away to get those loads from Canada into the United States. That's an area that you can have that sort of short-term effect here. Now they could also divert that to the West Coast. And so West Coast, truckers are going to see, they're going to be more need for truckers for those loads. Rates should increase over there and they're going to be bringing it over here to the East Coast. But what's going to happen here at the East Coast is if you're used to transporting these and used to going to the docks or used to, transporting from the farms to other locations, there's going to be a pause here and there's going to be a lot of truckers that don't have freight to move. And so you're going to see those freights locally or regionally here on the East Coast and the Gulf Coast probably drop short term. And, do you sit for a while? Do you, again, go up to Canada? Do you go to the West Coast? If you're a long haul trucker, that can happen. But if you're, regional or in-state trucker, you'll have so many situations. So how can you take advantage as a trucker at a local place? Well, a lot of that is going to be, there's going to be more needs for flatbeds. Hey, maybe they can get some of these off containers off the ships. Maybe they can get to rail in some situation. There's going to be a need for sort of flatbed truckers to get these containers to different locations. So you might need to switch the type of trailer or the type of vehicle you're using. Which leads to, if you are a trucker right now and you are not a trucker yet, but you're thinking about getting into the trucking industry and want to get your CDL, here at CNS, we help you get your CDL. We have a CDL school here in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Both at our CDL school, we do Class A CDLs for big trucks, but we also do hot shots. So if you have your F-150, F-250, and you're hauling with a trailer, we recommend getting your Class A CDL so that you have more opportunity. If you go overweight, then you don't have to worry about, a DOT number and all this stuff. You have your Class A CDL to manage this process as a hotshot trucker. So check out this video about our hotshot program here in Lititz, Pennsylvania.
CNS Driver Training Center is the first 101 CDL Class A hotshot proficiency program approved by the Pennsylvania Department of Education. We even may be the first in the United States. If you're watching this video, you're probably already thinking about starting your own hotshot business. And our 101 CDL hotshot training program was designed with that in mind. Our trainers will focus on your need as a hotshot hauler. There are five major benefits from going through our CDL Class A Hotshot Proficiency Program, and most current hotshot haulers would agree. One, you have more flexibility in what you haul and it's much easier to get hired. Two, you can drive any vehicle over 26,000 pounds or haul a trailer with a GVWR of 10,000 pounds or more. Three, you can take jobs with heavier loads. Four, you can learn what you need to know about hotshot, not semi-trucks. And five, you will be in a much better position to avoid expensive DOT fines. Our 101 program is tailored to your needs and offers a much better learning experience, eliminating large groups of students where you can't see, you can't hear, or ask questions, and you're waiting in line to drive. In addition, you are saving 30 to 70% compared to other big CDL schools. As a new business, we may even be able to put you through our company contract program. We're all about training high-quality CDL drivers in a better, more cost-effective way. If you have any further questions about our CDL school diploma program or work for a company and want to learn more about our contract training, give us a call at 717-496-9145, or you can email us at support@cnstrains.com, or you can just fill out the form below and someone will be in contact. Keep on trucking.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Here at Compliance Navigation Specialists as well, we help with all types of things, proactive safety management, driver training, trucking, commercial trucking insurance, our CDL school, of course, drug testing and so much more. We handle sort of that one-stop solution for your owner-operator or fleet needs. And now, what I want to go back to is Deckert's, the president of the ILA, and his perspective of what the truck or what the port strike will look like from his perspective. Again, we're going to go back to the video from the ILA that they posted 3 weeks ago on their YouTube channel, and we're going to take a look at his perspective, and we're going to end with sort of his video on really taking a look at how serious he is about this strike. So let's check this out.
To Texas, every single port will lock down. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me, I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour, maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract. And let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
Yeah, I mean, he's serious about this. And it makes sense. This is a big deal. And, we're going to talk about sort of these impacts that are happening. Air cargo freights are going to be going up, is going to be more expensive. Rail shipping freights are going to be going up. Those companies are going to make great money out of this strike. Short term, that's a good thing for them, at least. Trucking, again, you got to be able to bounce around. It can be a big negative impact regionally. We got to find ways to adapt and change and maneuver with this. But the big issue here that we have to think about as well is macroeconomics. what's going to happen to our economy. So, you know, obviously we've been fighting this sort of fear of a recession for last year and a half with inflation. Inflation was super, super high post-COVID. And so all of this manufacturing supply chain woes. And we saw a lot of that inflation in 2023. And we're starting to get it back down to that 2% rate. Things are starting to look good. We're going to get this sort of soft landing, and everything seemed to be great. Maybe the freight, you know, the freight recession that we saw with low rates, maybe that will start to uptick in the end of 2024, going into 2025. Things were looking good. This port strike, if it lasts longer than that sort of 2 week or in a month long time frame, this can be a huge deal macroeconomically. We're looking at, you know, if this happens longer than a month, you're looking at like 1% of our GDP will drop. So hey, we were projecting about 3% increase in our GDP. That's fantastic, is where we want to be. Drop that back down to 2. If it goes longer than that, drop that down back to 1%. And then this, again, approaches that fear of recession. And the longer it goes, prices will eventually go up from the retailers to the store. You'll see it if it goes longer than that 2 week to a month time frame. And that means inflation. Inflation will spike again. What will the Fed do? Will they quickly drop the interest rates and sort of help the economy put that, you know, chug that new money into the economy and sort of help prevent the worst outcome of this? Or what? We're not 100% sure, but there's going to be this transition that happens, a new wave of fear of inflation in 2025. And this can be that sort of big issue, big black swan event that gets us into a recession in 2025, which we just do not want to do. So all of this has to do with timing. How long will this last is how big the impact is going to be. Now let's get a perspective from a Bloomberg article here on the gcaptain.com Bloomberg article, where the shippers' perspective of what they're announcing to their people. So MSC is the biggest company here. They said on Thursday that these basically it's not going to be solved by October 1st. We know that now. They're on strike, and booking adjustments, including roll to other vessels or cancellations, may be needed, they said in their advisory. The Geneva-based company said that it will continue to accept requests for dry cargo services while reserving the right to not accept new refrigerated bookings. Yes, obviously the refrigerated loads, they're more time sensitive because cold storage, needing to move them, you know, sort of they got to get sold so that they don't go to waste. They're saying we might not even do that. And so it's going to be a big deal. Where are they going to be stuck? Where are they going to be stuck at? Refrigerated loads is going to have a big impact here. And that's according to the shipper. Now, Hapag-Lloyd, the world's fifth container carrier here, said that the bulk bread bulk cargo could also be affected. It cautioned that industrial action will raise freight rates. So shipping costs, including freight, warehousing, and dryage rates are expected to rise due to increased demand for alternative routes and port services, said the German company. Emergency surcharges may also be applied to account for additional handling and congestion. So then the question is going to come down to, will those charges get down to the everyday people like us? Or where is those costs going to be sucked in? Short term shouldn't be an issue. The retailer should be able to handle those costs, but long term, they won't be able to handle it very long. And we're going to be seeing some big issues here. Also, customers may not be easily shift to alternative routes either. So C.H. Robinson Worldwide, one of the largest U.S. freight brokerages, cautioned in a statement that in the event of a strike beginning October 1st, which is now obviously happening, contingency routes could become overwhelmed very quickly. So again, if they get ships going to the West Coast, there's going to be a lot of those loads coming over to the East Coast, you know, Canada coming into the US. Those lanes are going to get congested very quick. Costs will rise and rates will rise. Great for trucking in those areas. And then once they get into the East Coast, are they going to get any loads out, if they're going to try to go back to the West Coast or back up to Canada, how easy are they? Are they going to get stuck in the South? That's one of those issues that tends to happen is if you get a load, yeah, I can bring it over to the certain location. Usually it's the West Coast. So you get stuck in the West Coast or in Arizona or in the Midwest there, you get stuck. But here, could carriers get stuck with loads and not be able to get out efficiently, cost effectively? That is going to be the issue here. So keep track of your customer base, but also the load boards and where and what you can handle financially during this time, the next couple of weeks. Again, as Christmas season happens and comes along, it's going to be these big issues here. Now the Financial Times, they say freight rates will rise as company plans for costly U.S. port strike. Specifically, what I wanted to talk about here, I got to find where it's at here. So large retailers have pulled forward imports of much of the holiday merchandise and made reservations with West Coast ocean and rail carriers in hopes to avoid any disruptions. So, again, retailers, here's proof again that retailers are relatively prepared for the holiday season for the majority of the stuff. In the process, business freight costs have risen by as much as 20% due to the extra warehousing space needed to store expanded inventories. And so this is that sort of short-term effect that's happened the last couple of months. And we're going to see this sort of spiral in the coming months. Those warehouses are eventually going to get less and less, obviously inventory in there, and they're going to get stuck and they need stuff right away. And what that backlog and what that time frame is going to look like is where the rates and the prices will increase coming like a month, 2 months down the road, especially after the holiday season. As small business race to import goods before any strike, the average cost of shipping a 40-foot container on short-term contracts from Europe to the U.S. rose 29% to $2,400 basically since the end of August. And, again, some of this impact is going to be these small businesses. This is going to be the biggest impact on small businesses. Owner operators are going to have the biggest issues here. Small retailers are going to have the big issues here. They can't handle this bulk of inventory. So hopefully they're prepared for the holidays if they took advantage of it. But who knows? Now, the question is, let's get the trucking perspective. What is ATA, the CEO, what's his perspective on the impact here and how long will it affect trucking specifically? So this is a Fox News piece talking with Chris Beer, the CEO of the ATA.
What's your reaction to this and where do you think this is going?
Well, Maria, thanks for having me. I think the impact, if this strike occurs next Tuesday, is going to be significant, not just on the economy, but, Americans, everybody that's in need of goods each day are going to feel the impact that this is going to have. We're talking 36 ports in the East and Gulf Coast that are represented here. Five of the top 10 in the country are going to shut down on Tuesday. We're moving 12,000 trucks daily at Port of New York, New Jersey. This is very significant, especially on farmers. We're talking nearly half of the goods exported out of our ports come from these East Coast ports. We're talking produce, poultry, cotton. This is very significant on our farmers. That produce is going to be felt first in week one if this were to occur. People are going to have limited choice and they're going to pay a lot more for it. So I appreciate you paying attention to this because it's coming.
Well, this is a great point that you're making. So produce
parts,
gets
clothing,
hit first.
How many people are buying typewriters?
And I was thinking that the real impact would be inflationary because obviously the supply-demand dynamics leads to higher prices for things. We're just trying to get inflation down and perhaps we see another spike as a result of this.
Fruits and nuts. Look out.
Absolutely. And trucks are the glue in all of this. Whether you move it on truck or rail, trucks are still going to move that last mile. And we're talking, large companies, but also the medium and small companies, independent contractors, owner operators, they're going to get hung out to dry if these ports shut. So beyond the 85,000 ILA workers, we're talking thousands of other workers that support the supply chain. it's going to take a long time after a week to 2 weeks of shutdown for the economy to recover. So inflation is definitely an outcome from this.
Yeah. So if the truckers take on more load, doesn't that mean we see an impact to gasoline prices? I mean, oil prices have come off of the highs in the last couple of months. Does that reverse?
Absolutely. I think you're going to see repercussions that are going to last. So every week is about a month, 2-3 weeks push out into a quarter to two quarters. You could see this spilling well into 2025. Having real repercussions. If this, the longer it plays out, the more impact you're going to have. So 36 ports, East Coast, Gulf Coast, this is very significant to the American economy. You can't reroute all this through the West Coast. So shutting down for terms and conditions that are completely out of reach, 70% pay increase, that's what the ILA is asking for. I think you and I would love a 70% pay increase, but that's not reality. So they need to come to the table. They need to get reasonable. And they need to get a deal.
Well, the last time the Biden-Harris administration got involved in the strike negotiations, the workers got what they wanted. So I wonder where this goes. I mean, you know, obviously the timing was you know, on purpose, intentional timing right before the election. I'm wondering if, in fact, you do see Biden or Harris intervene here and perhaps give the workers what they want. How does this play out?
Yeah, so that was the ATA's perspective here. And, you know, let's talk about politics a little bit, just a little bit. We'll talk about what's happened in the past with previous port strike and, you know, have presidents stepped in before and what could President Biden or, you know, the future president, you know, what kind of outcome could this happen politically? So in 2001, 2002, that 11-day port strike shutdown on the West Coast. This was during George W. Bush's time. You'll probably hear things about the Taft, you know, sort of agreement or whatever, where they are allowed to basically, the president can submit an executive order and force these workers back to work for 60, 80, 90 days, basically to try to get that agreement going again. We heard previously with Daggett with ILA that even if they are forced back to work, you know, maybe, you know, their efficiency is not going to be 100% during those 90 days. So, you know, even forcing them back to work, you know, you'll have some potential gain, but that backlog that's going to still be there, it's still going to be a slog getting through it, depending on how long it is. Now, so George W. Bush, I believe further back in time, another Republican president stopped the port strike. But now looking at President Biden, we all know he's a big union guy. He's sort of been on the lines with them before, you know, and is probably unlikely to get involved with this, at least in the short term. Sort of, again, that 2 week window. So while in the back rooms, you know, President Biden has basically said, hey, get a deal done. He's not going to step in. He wants them to make this situation resolve itself, unless it's going to officially affect the economy in a big, big way, politically in a big way. That's where after this two-week time frame, there's going to be so much pressure on things to happen for this agreement. If the ILA gets sort of stuck in their ways of only wanting what they want and not meeting in the middle of any way, then we can see the president stepping in, submitting an executive order probably 2 weeks from now in the middle of October, maybe the third week of October, but definitely before Halloween, because, you know, Harris doesn't want this for her running for president. Trump's going to make a big, you know, deal about this. That has never happened. I'll make a deal with this. So there's going to be a lot of pressure politically for something to happen. And so this 2 week window is probably what we're expecting. So as a trucker out there, that's sort of the assumption I would walk into this. You know, can you handle this, the 2 weeks from now moving into this? And then start getting serious, prepare yourself. If it does feel like it's going to go longer than that 2 week timeframe, prepare yourself. What are you going to do? Because things are going to change and it's going to be a big deal. There is even some news. So on Twitter here, where is it? There was news here where people have been on strike, and there has even been, let me see it. There has been, you know, people injured during the port strike. Here it is. So let's just check this out. This is the most recent news, live happening on site at one of the strikes. I believe it's Baltimore here. And what is their sort of, what's happening there? Sort of get their perspective in this news piece from Fox 5, and then sort of talking about someone getting injured and what this looks like. Again, there's going to be a lot of sort of, fear, especially on social media, about this, what's happening. Short term, it's going to be okay, but long term, there's going to be a lot of negativity that you're going to see on social media about all of this. So prepare yourselves on that as well. But here's one perspective.
We start the top of the hour this morning with a Fox 5 News alert. Thousands of dock workers are on strike, causing ports across the U.S. to close.
Yeah, in total, 36 ports shutting down, including the port of Baltimore. Melanie Allenwick is there right now live, and she appears to be telling us since this morning that it's been heating up there, and it hasn't been a pleasant sight for many folks, especially the drivers coming in.
That's right. So for some people, I think it might have been a bit of a surprise. However, this has been in the news that it could be happening for a few weeks now. So you can see the picket lines behind me here. And this is the main entrance to the Port of Baltimore, the Dundalk Terminal. And you'll see they're walking around the picket lines in circles. Now, Baltimore police were here earlier reminding the picketers that they cannot block the entrance to the port. The longshoremen walked off the job at 12:01 a.m. There was confusion and anger as picketers initially tried to stop trucks from entering, and it did turn violent.
I come here for 7 years. I pull the trash and the debris out of here for the Port of Baltimore, and the officer told me to come back and make go in there to get out of my way, and they attacked me and broke the windshield and it lacerated my face. Look at it.
Now, we don't know exactly what happened. The union members said the truck hit one of the picketers as they swarmed around it. We did see an ambulance come to assist, and we know that that gentleman did speak with police officers. Again, we'll let the authorities sort out exactly what happened there. Now, 45 members of the International Longshoremen's Association, I'm sorry, 45,000 members. That's a big difference in a number, isn't it? They've all been asking for a 77% pay increase over 6 years and a ban on automation at their ports, a threat to their jobs, they say. Now, most retailers stocked up on goods prior to the strike, but if it lasts more than a few weeks, supply chain experts say it's consumers who are going to feel the direct impact of higher prices and product shortages, especially for things like fresh fruit, coffee, and cars. The U.S. Marine Alliance, which represents the ports, said it offered 50% pay increases and an agreement to keep current limits on automation, in addition to increased contributions to the retirement plans. But apparently that was not acceptable to the union members. We don't know what the next steps are in terms of the negotiations. Now, we do want to let you know that West Coast ports do remain open. They are a different union and working under a different contract. And many supply chain leaders have rerouted some of their goods and supplies. But on the East Coast, it's going to have to be a wait and see situation as to how directly everyone is impacted. I want to let you know that, again, we are going to try to get an interview with one of the local union leaders here as soon as we sign off. And if we get anything from their point of view, we'll be sure to bring it to you.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the coming days, in the coming weeks. I always say it at the end of all my videos, stay safe out there. This is very, very important because you're going to see people blocking, trying to get into the ports. Jolynn, our VP for our driver training school, talked about going to the port one time, and it's just a big process here, and they're going to be stopping people from going in, trying to get anything in and out of there. And so be safe if you're going to the ports, or be safe if you're on strike. Again, let me know in the comments, how will it affect you? Cause we're going to take a look at a CCJ article here about there could be some opportunities for the spot market carriers. And again, really the idea is that if it goes longer than those 2 weeks, finding that spot market opportunity in the long run. And so, excuse me, we're going to scroll down here and take a look at this. So yeah, right here. So by and large, other than this threat of a port strike, supply chain glitches have largely resolved themselves from data, both Census Bureau and Eurostat, showing that the percentage of manufacturers citing raw material shortages as affecting their capacity utilization has fallen back to pre-COVID levels. So that's good news from the previous information. The Longshoremen Union in North America is warning with United States Maritime Alliance, you know, again, talking about the strike that's happening in the short term. We'd expect minimal impact on supply chains as shippers anticipate a strike on the front-loaded imports earlier this year. So they've prepared for it. We've talked about this before earlier in this in the video. Now, the question is going to come down to long-term. So demand for air would surge to more high-value and late-season goods like electronics and pharmaceuticals, which would need to be moved by truck out of air cargo hubs. That's what you're going to be seeing here. FTR CEO Jonathan Starks agreed that shippers have had ample time to prepare for this strike. So again, short-term inventory should be available and accessible. Our assumption is a two-week strike. So that's all of our assumption. Before the end of the month of October, we should see this being resolved. It's long enough to create some pain in the transport markets, but not long enough to create significant pain for the consumer on the or the industrial supplier. Manufacturers, again, that just-in-time shipping, just-in-time manufacturing, that's going to be the biggest issue here. And then any of that sort of sudden, you know, farm agricultural stuff that could, you know, needs to get out to a certain location as quickly as possible. There's going to be some pain here. Anything that encroaches into late in the month and nears the presidential election date would start to change that equation. And shippers would begin to make more significant changes to their shipping patterns as intermodal facilities could start to max out. One thing an extended strike could bring is an emergence of severe late a lane imbalance. For instance, Canadian lumber will be in high demand for rebuilding in the southeast on the heels of the Hurricane Helene. And loads of machinery, steel, and other equipment that flatbed carriers would move from Baltimore back to Canada is probably going to dry up. So it's something to watch specifically in these regions. Now, spot load port posts for all three equipment types increased across the southeast last week as shippers staged freight or moved inventory to safer locations ahead of the storm from the hurricane. This week, road closures, power outages, and delays in getting fuel from racks to gas stations make it hard for anything to move. That's what's happening there right now. South Carolina has been hit with some big flooding. This should change next week once roads become passable and power is restored. In the coming months, recovery from Helene will be more of a story for flatbed carriers. They're essential for moving construction material, machinery, and heavy equipment needed to rebuild. Now, if we talk about holiday shopping, another case for poor timing, obviously, this is a base case scenario for the union to strike. You got the presidential election, you got the holiday season, and you have just sort of this end of that contract, and it's just sort of that perfect situation for the union to strike. So they have the leverage right now. So consequently, I do not believe Americans have much to fear about the holiday goods being available. Again, think about this too. Like, we should be good on toilet paper. Don't worry about those COVID fears. It's not going to be a concern. The concern, though, is going to be auto parts and perishable fruits. Again, short-term and long-term, these are going to be the cases of what we're seeing. Likewise, U.S. exports, getting them out of the United States, such as paper, frozen meat, motor vehicles, and plastic resins, can't be front-loaded, and thus a prolonged strike could affect domestic U.S. manufacturing output by reducing demand because exporting is precluded. They basically, manufacturers are going to slow down and they can't move the goods. And it's a very timely thing. So they're just not going to move. You're going to see less production. Again, economic impact long term. You're going to see that sort of steamroll into 2025 with macroeconomic data. So there you have it. You know, we sort of covered everything here up on the port strike. It could be a good thing for truckers in certain regions. It's going to, and especially certain types of vehicle or trailers that you have, it's going to be a big deal if it goes longer than 2 weeks, a negative big deal if it goes longer than 2 weeks. So prepare yourselves mentally, keep an eye on the spot market, be prepared and understanding what customers and shippers are saying, where are your contracts at, making sure those are set in place during this biggest pain point of October and potentially throughout the end of 2024, and be prepared for what's coming. Regardless, here at CNS, we recommend, again, all this sort of mindset of proactive safety management, being proactive in your freight loads and contracts and money. We preach proactive safety, and we can help small owner operators all the way up to 100,000 fleet carriers with their safety programs. It could include fuel tax management. You know, that's a big deal and an annoying task to do. Getting those from, you know, data from your ELDs and then making sure everything matches and getting that stuff quarterly, IFTA, fuel taxes and stuff in place and ready to go. Also licensing, what you need to get in place for new type of vehicle, in different states, different regions, especially in Canada. We can help you with this process. So check out both cnsprotects.com, cnslicensing.com. If you need help with commercial insurance, if you're about to come up for renewal, or if you're looking to shop, we have a big opportunity right now with a new market. We're not going to share it too yet, loudly yet, but there's a huge market that we're approaching. And in the next couple weeks, we're going to be diving into this. This is going to be a big deal to sort of beat Progressive rates. And so if you're in Progressive and you hate Progressive and you want to switch, or if you're in another, you have another insurer and you want to switch, there's a big opportunity right now. So if you have your renewals coming up by the end of this year, going into January, let us shop you around. We can probably get you in about 17 different states for this new opportunity. And also if you are, you know, box trucks and other things like that, we have some interesting markets right now where we can shop your rates at more affordable rates. So you can go to cnsinsures.com. We also have links down in our description. All the content that we've covered here in this video is also linked in the description down below. And as always, as we always preach, as I always say at the end of our videos, and I truly mean this, stay safe out there and good luck.